On the line, we have Joe Morrison, who's the Group Chief Executive Officer of the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation. Joe, before we find out a bit more about you, could you tell us, please, a bit about the story of the ILSC? What is it and where did it come from?
Yeah, sure. So the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation, it was formerly known as the Indigenous Land Corporation. It was established in 1995, and it was established after the High Court's Mabo decision. It was part of the government's response to that decision around the issue that we're around the country celebrating today. It's 30 years of that decision today, in fact. And so the doctrine of terra nullius was done away with in that, and the Native Title Act was established. And for many Indigenous people in Australia, they would understand and appreciate that to be successful in Native Title claims, you have to demonstrate a level of continuous connection to your country, and that is very difficult for some groups to do that, given the disruption to their societies that occurred when the settlers first arrived. And so in saying that, the government on the day understood that some people wouldn't meet those requirements and established the Indigenous Land Corporation at the time. And it was established to basically assist Indigenous people in those areas to acquire property and to assist with the management of both those properties, but also broader areas of country. And that sort of is basically how the ILC at the time was established. And so it's 27 years since it was passed through Parliament. We have been working at a national level right around the country with Indigenous people to acquire property and to divest that property back into their hands and control and to assist with the ongoing management of those properties.
I see on the website that you've got a few key examples of the work that you've done being involved with different groups around the country. Can you just flesh out a couple for us so we get a bit of a picture of, you know, what you've done or what the ILSC has done?
Yeah, sure. So in its early stages, it really focused a lot on acquiring, pastoral properties or leases for traditional owners or Indigenous people, and so went through a phase earlier on in its life, and noting that I've been in this role for about 18 months now. So going back some time, it did a lot of purchasing of property right around the country, and particularly in Northern Australia, purchasing pastoral lands where Indigenous people didn't have the capacity or the capital to be able to purchase those properties. So the ILC stood in and purchased a number of those properties. We're still working through divestment of some of those properties. A good example in Kirribipedi is the acquisition of a property there to work with Purple House to establish a dialysis unit there. And so, what's relevant in Kirribipedi and a good example is that dialysis unit that's now run by Purple House. We assisted with the acquisition of that property and the management of it. In other instances, we've been working with Indigenous people around acquiring other properties, for example, a sheep property in Tasmania. We've also assisted Indigenous groups with the acquisition of fishing quota. And a good example is a southern bluefin tuna quota for a group of Indigenous people in South Australia, and to support them in entering into commercial fishery operations. So it's pretty broad ranging in terms of the kinds of activities we've assisted with acquisition, and we've also been supporting a number of groups with, for example, operating their ranger programs as well. So ranger programs are very popular across the country, and we've been working with some of those groups to assist them with the ongoing management of their country.
Okay, so just taking a step back for a moment, we'll get back to talking about the strategy and the consultation that you're being engaged with at the moment, but just taking a step back and looking at the governance, the managers of the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation, it is a government, come out of the government, as you said, the federal government. What can you tell us about the Board of Management or how the management system works? And maybe could you tell us a bit about your background?
Sure. So the ILC is overseen by a board. The ILC is a Commonwealth, what we call a Commonwealth corporate entity. So it's part of the Australian government institutional framework, but it is independent. So the minister that we report to, which is the Indigenous Affairs or Indigenous Australians Minister, is not able to direct the ILC to do anything in particular. So we have an independent board that's currently chaired by an Aboriginal man by the name of Ian Hamm, who's got Yorta Yorta connections in Victoria. And we've also got six other directors, so a total of seven directors on our board, five of which have to be Indigenous. And they are made up of directors right around the country with particular expertise and skill sets to sit on the board and provide the overarching direction and ensure the implementation through my role of the strategy we're about to talk about. My background, I've been working in Northern Australia for the last 30 years. I've worked at very local levels with communities and outstations. I've done a lot of work around research and policy, establishing the Ranger programs in Northern Australia. I also ran an institution that was working basically from Broome right across to the Torres Straits in setting up a program which is now quite popular called the Savannah Burning Program, which is a carbon abatement project to support Indigenous fire management and for people to be able to sell the offsets into the market. And I've been involved in water rights, land claims. I was also the former CEO of the Northern Land Council. And so I've got a community development background, and I've been working in the area and space of Indigenous economic development in Northern Australia, mostly.
Okay, thank you. So we are talking today especially because the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation is gearing up to produce its new Indigenous Land and Sea Strategy. And as part of that, you're consulting with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people all around Australia and coming up here into Coopedy next Wednesday. Why is this being called the most comprehensive engagement process in the ILSC's history?
Well, because the ILSC is required in its legislation, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Act, to table a strategy in the federal parliament and for that to be approved by the parliament. What's not required in that legislation is that we consult with Indigenous people around the country. So when we say comprehensive, what we mean by that is this is the first time that we've actively, as an agency, gone out and conversed with them about the strategy and for them to design and implement the strategy alongside the ILC. And that was, I guess, what I said to the board when I was interested in coming here, is that we really need to work hand in glove with Indigenous people who, at the moment, have got rights and interests legally recognised in over 50% of Australia, and that's growing very quickly. So we need to do a number of things. One is we need to consult and work with people about the aspirations that they have for their country. And two, we need to ensure that that's enshrined in our strategy and the way that we invest and work alongside Indigenous groups going forward. In the past, it wasn't that kind of approach, but I certainly have seen from my experience that you really need to do things with people rather than to them, and obviously that's part of the strategy that we're undertaking at the moment.
So one of the questions that has come up a lot in just me talking with locals about this coming up next Wednesday, the question is, well, why should people believe that going along to this consultation is worth their time? Why should they believe that their ideas will be taken seriously and potentially acted on?
Well, because, and I can certainly appreciate levels of scepticism, because that certainly hasn't been the case in the past. And you know, we hear a lot of rhetoric around the country around needing to talk with people and the promises being made and broken and so forth. But I think with the current board and with my intention of the ILSC, that we certainly do two things. As I said before, we make sure that our strategy is informed by that, and that we publicly make that available and we hold ourselves to account about that. So it's not about just talking to people and then getting ideas and then throwing the document away. This is a national document. It's got to be signed off by Parliament. It's going to be there for everyone to see. And it's really important that that our investment out of our land fund, and that was the other thing I didn't mention, was that we do have a independent land fund that supports the ILC in its work, that the monies that come out of that fund are in tune with the kinds of things that we will hear from people around the country. So I think it's very important that people tell us, and not just the good things, but also the bad things that the ILC might have done in the past. We need to hear that. But we also need to ensure that people tell us about what their plans are that they have for their country and how we can work with them on that.
I'm just wondering if this consultation can do what it can do for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are living in and around Coober Pedy but whose traditional countries are elsewhere.
It doesn't matter where people come from in our books, because what we want to know is their ideas, and if they're just because we're having consultations in Coober Pedy doesn't mean we only want to speak to people who have got ancestral ties to Coober Pedy. We want to speak to people from all over that area through these meetings about their ideas. So again, it doesn't really matter where you come from, because we certainly appreciate that towns attract many people. I'm actually from a town called Katherine in the Northern Territory that has many of our neighbours and other people living there, but we still need to speak to everyone about their ideas for their own country.
Now, you are saying we. Does that mean that you are intending to be at, you've got something like more than 40 sessions set up around the country, or the country's called Australia. Are you planning to be at them all yourself?
I wish I could, but unfortunately I can't, because a lot of these meetings are concurrent right across the country. We're spreading those meetings, and we're also having roundtable meetings, expert roundtable meetings outside of the community consultations, and some of these are concurrent. So our first one actually is today at the IATSA summit that's taking place in Queensland, and then we have our first consultation meeting with the community on next Monday, and that's in Whyalla, and then Coober Pedy on the 8th. They are also clashing with other dates and other locations around the country, so I intend to get us to as many as possible, but it's not possible to get to all of them.
Yes, understandable, very understandable. Do you want to talk a bit about, there's information that's gone out as part of this consultation, and part of that information says that there have been a lot of changes, you know, since 1995, and that there have been people consulted about how to adapt to those changes. Are you able to talk a bit about that?
Absolutely. I mean, if you go back to 1995, and, you know, it was in a political period of time that was very polarising for the nation. You know, we had various things after that. We had a challenge to get the native title legislation through Parliament, and it obviously didn't turn out in a way that a lot of Indigenous people and leaders expected at the time. And then we had things like the Northern Territory intervention and various other things that took place. I think what we're talking about here is a bit of a resetting of the relationship between the ILSC and Indigenous people, because it hasn't always been good, and I'll be the first to admit that, because part of my attraction to come into the position was, in fact, to do that reset and to ensure that what we are doing is empowering Indigenous people, not empowering ourselves as a government organisation. And so when we talk about the change, the amount of land, the amount of land rights and native title back then is vastly different to what it is now. As I said, there's places like Northern Australia, which is majority Indigenous owned in some shape or form. That's now occurring in other parts in Central Australia and in Southern Australia. As well, through things like the Victorian Settlement Act here in Victoria, Indigenous people have been able to get access to their country that otherwise they wouldn't have been able to through those other processes. So we talk about a very different landscape. We also talk about a very different appetite from the Indigenous community to get involved in enterprises and become entrepreneurs in their own rights rather than having outsiders come and do things for them. So there's a very different landscape. There's a very different appetite, and we need to ensure that we're dealing with a very sophisticated set of circumstances and Indigenous aspirations that are going to be very suitable for further economic advancement for Indigenous people going forward, but also social and cultural as well, because a lot of the interest that we have from Indigenous people is also associated with culture, language, and those sorts of things as well. So I think it's important to appreciate that there has been significant change over the decades, and we need to make sure as an agency that we're meeting those challenges.
Now, before, you did say that the ILSE operates independently of the government. Does that mean then that, you know, with the change of the guard, so we've got now, of course, a Labor government, and we've got Linda Burney sworn in on the 1st of June, I believe, as the Minister for Indigenous Australians. So do you think that that's not going to really make any difference, having a new government?
No, but I think what would be good, I mean, certainly with my experience, and I'm sure the board would share that as well, is that we have an appetite for significant policy change, not just to do with us, but also areas of intersecting the work that we do. For example, water rights is a problem here in Australia, where Indigenous people haven't been able to access water. It's very expensive to buy water rights, and I think you know, we'd be very keen to have that conversation with the new minister and also others in that Labor caucus, including Patrick Dodson, who I've worked with in the past around the issue of water rights. I think we have some of those overlaps where I think that we can at least have a conversation with this government about some of those challenges, and given their commitment to the Uluru Statement, regardless of whether people like that or not, I think opens up doors for the kinds of policy shifts that I think would be beneficial for Indigenous people. But obviously there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. Just getting back to the consultation session in Coober Pedy, as far as you know, is that going to go ahead regardless of if there are big pre-bookings?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Joe?
No, just that I'd like, you know, encourage as many people in Coober Pedy to attend. Obviously, we want to amplify those Indigenous voices in particular, but it's not just for Indigenous people, but obviously that's our area of interest. Partnerships that sometimes include non-Indigenous interests are always very important in this piece as well too. So I'd encourage obviously as many Indigenous people as possible, but also potential partners who want to work and support Indigenous aspirations to attend these sessions.
Joe, thank you so much for your time today. It must be a very busy day for you, especially with the 30th anniversary, as you said, of that High Court Mabo decision, Reconciliation Week, and so many other things. So thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure for me to speak with you.
And likewise, very, very good to speak with you as well, Melissa, and really look forward to getting to Coober Pedy. If I can't get there at this time, I'm sure I'll get there another time.